Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. I want to get a theme going here. Jesus said in Mark 9, 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. How many things? Or what? All things are possible. You know, when I was thinking about Believe It or Not, I titled this Believe It or Not, I was thinking about Ripley's Museum and Ripley's Believe It or Not, how people go into the museum and they believe all these different stories, and I don't know if they're true or not, but the Bible says every word written in this word is true, that's written in this book. And one of the things that the Lord wants to speak to our heart about, you know, the Bible says that God split the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked across the Red Sea. Do you believe that? God says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace. And it says there was a fourth in there, the Son of Man. Do you believe that? That they didn't get burned, that they didn't get touched by the fire. Do you believe that Lazarus was dead for 4 days and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth? And he came back to life and came out of the grave. Do you believe God for that? Do you believe that happened? If you believe those things happen, how can you not believe for the things you're asking for him today? Listen to me. God wants to speak to our hearts and lives. God's got something he wants to do in this place. Amen. And he brought you here and drew you here today for a purpose and a reason. So we're going to go in Acts chapter 28. It's kind of interesting when I was looking at this. In my Bible, there's a caption where we have the scripture we're going to today. And it said, some believe and some do not. Some believe and some do not. And just because the one sitting beside you believes doesn't necessarily mean that you believe. But the Word of God declares, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as the Word of God goes forth today, some belief is going to be stirred inside of each and every one of us. Now the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to stubborn people. Is there anybody stubborn in the room? Hello? Hello? He was speaking to a really stubborn people. And it says in Acts chapter 28, verse number 24, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, and after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Why? For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Look to the one second beside you and say, you will hear today. Amen. The title of this morning's message with the help of the Lord is Believe It or Not. We're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the deterioration, the dullness, the discovery, but the last thing we're going to look at is the deliverance. Hallelujah. Let's lift our word and let's come into agreement together. I love coming into agreement. Amen? Amen? So just repeat after me. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Jesus. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, I'm so grateful, Father God, for your word. And I'm grateful that you're sending it here today to accomplish something in each and every heart of each and every individual that's gathered here today. So again, Lord Jesus, I speak and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring glory, honor, and praise to you. May the hearers be edified, exhorted, and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory and honor will be unto you. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen and amen. Now, when the Apostle Paul was speaking about the children of Israel, and we could say it's happened to a lot of people in the world today, Gentile alike, he said their hearts was waxed gross. They're waxed gross. And there, in other words, that was the deterioration. To deteriorate is the process of progressively getting worse. When I look at it, something that deteriorates, I was reminded I have a Ford pickup truck. I don't have a Ford pickup truck. My wife has a Ford pickup truck. Let me get that straight. She lets me drive it. But we have a Ford pickup truck, and in that Ford pickup truck, there's rust. There's deterioration that's forming. And in that deterioration, as it's rusting, it grows and expands. It gets worse and worse. In other words, if you leave that rust, it's going to keep eating, is it not? Right? Is it right? You're the auto man. And that's what was happening to their hearts. Their hearts were getting worse and worse. And Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, said in Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7. Verse number 25. He says, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. In other words, they become stiff-necked. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is caught cut off from their mouth. Amen. And this talks about growing worse and worse, deteriorating. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and now we're talking to the church. We're talking to the children in Christ. He gives us a warning. How many know that a warning is for us to take heed and pay attention to? And he's reminding us in the day and the hour that we're living in. He says in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're deteriorating. They're progressively getting worse. Deceiving and being deceived. In other words, God wants you and I to understand that the adversary, Satan, he's the artist of deception. He makes things look like they're good when they're not good. Amen? He makes things look really tasty that will kill you. Just like he tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Amen? It's the same way he comes and tries to tempt you and I. And one of the things that God was saying to me, and I want you to get a hold of something, we're living in an age and a time where there's so much deception out there. Let me say something to you. A lie is a lie, whether it's white, red, yellow, or blue. It doesn't matter what color it is. If it's not the truth, it's a lie. Amen. Pastor, that was just a little white lie. No, it wasn't the truth. One of the things that are missing in the body of Christ today, there's a lack of honor. God says that we're to honor one another. We're to respect one another. God's in his word says that he is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, he shall reap. If we sow dishonor, guess what we're going to reap? Dishonor. If we sow disrespect, what are we going to reap? Disrespect. Amen. God wants you and I to know. He doesn't want us to become stiff-necked like the children of Israel were, and not to receive and understand that this is our time now. This is the season for the Gentile. Because the word of God declares in Romans chapter 11, just as the natural branch, the Jews, was broken off so the unnatural branch, the Gentiles, could be grafted in, how much more will he graft back in the natural branch? There's a time for the Jews. There's a time of Jacob's trouble, and they will come because they were stiff-necked and disobedient. And God says the same thing. If I did not have mercy on them, I won't have mercy on you either, unless you trust me with all your heart, unless you lean not to your understanding, unless you in all your ways acknowledge me and I direct your path, unless you come to the place where you recognize that you can do all things through Christ, which gives you strength. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. I can't do it with my power. I can't do it in my strength, but he gives me the power and the strength to accomplish whatever he calls me to do. Hallelujah. So he says to us in a little warning in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. This is a warning to the Gentile also. Listen to me. He says in verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than in the beginning. And in other words, if I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away, old things have become new, I'm not going back. I love that song. We haven't done it. We did it on Wednesday night. Moving forward. I'm not looking back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. Old things are made new. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving. Forward. Amen. So he shows us, even in his children, his beloved, the Jewish nation, because of their stiff neck, amen, because they were their heart had waxed gross. It was deteriorated. It was growing worse and worse. Then he also says there was dullness. They would hear with their ears did not hear and their eyes did not see. In other words, they weren't hearing and they weren't seeing. In other words, they were rejecting what was spoken to them. So with this, I was looking at the dullness. One of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart is the discernment of the times that we're in. How many know that we're in the last days? Come on. How many know it's time for the church to wake up? God isn't coming back for a sleepy bride. He's coming back with a bride that has her lamps full. Amen. You know what your lamp filled means? It means you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled with the Spirit of God and you're overflowing with the power of God. When you walk into a room, the whole atmosphere changes because of the one that's in you. Amen. And as you come in and things are changed around you. But Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse number 54. I'll start there. And he said unto this people, verse 54, kind of all of us can relate to this. When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? God says this, what is right, and what is wrong is wrong. I heard someone say the other day that, a minister say the other day that we need to bring politics into the house of God, and we need to bring that into the house and have it in the house of God. And I sat before the Lord and I asked the Lord about that. And God said, in the house, there's not a Democrat or a Republican. It's not Democrat or Republican. It's about what's right and what's wrong. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. I don't care who it is. It's not about who it is. It's about what's right and what's wrong. We preach the truth, and Jesus said, you should know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make you free. Error never freed anyone. Is it all right to kill? No. God says, thou shalt not kill. Is it okay to lie? No. God says, thou shalt not lie. Is it okay to steal? No. God says, thou shalt not steal. Amen. Amen. It's either right or wrong, right or wrong, right or wrong. And that's what we're to preach here. God says, we teach the truth of God's word, because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. So as we're looking at this today, he says to you in Ezekiel chapter 12, the prophet Ezekiel said it like this. I don't know if it's you guys, that's some good preaching. You know why I know it's good preaching? Because I feel it coming from the Holy Spirit within. Amen. Because it's not coming from Carl, it's coming from the Lord. Amen. And God knows exactly what you need to hear to increase your faith. There's so much confusion that's going on in the world today. Everybody's sowing confusion. And where there's confusion, there's every evil work. And God wants you to know he does things decently. He does them in order. If we follow his word, we're always on the right path. We're always in the right way. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man he needs to repent. If God said it, he's going to do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he says, the prophet Ezekiel said this in Ezekiel 12, verse number 1. He said this, and the word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, and have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Let me say something, what God's word says about rebellion. He calls it witchcraft. Amen. And when you rebel against the word of God and you go for the things of the world, you're entered into some demonic areas and you're actually practicing witchcraft. Amen. And the Lord says to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing to his student again, we're all students of the gospel. He reminds us in 2 Timothy 3 verse 7, we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, none of us have arrived. We're all in school here. Amen. In other words, everything that we're doing here is to help us grow. Amen. You know, he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He is saying to you and I today, just like the heart of the Jews have waxed gross. It was deteriorating. It was getting worse and worse. He said, because of the dullness, all right, that was the lack of perception. They weren't perceiving the truth. Amen. And if we don't perceive the truth, it's kind of hard to operate and move in the truth unless we have a perception. Amen. I don't know. Sometimes with me, it's like I look at something and then see it. And all of a sudden, there's a light that goes off. Okay. And it lights up. And all of a sudden, well, man, why didn't I see that before? Amen. And all of a sudden, there's revelation that comes. But he says this. He said, but your eyes see and your ears hear, and you shall be converted. I mean, you look at the converted, a convert is someone that was discovered, that discovered a new Lord. There was a discovery that came. That word convert means to discovery. So I'm looking at the discovery that we find when we put our trust in him. And here's where I want to take you in Psalms 19. Psalms 19. We're talking about being converted. We're being transformed. We're being changed. We're a new convert. Amen. You give your heart to Jesus. You're recognized as a new convert because there's been a discovery that's taken place. Then the psalmist says in Psalms 19, verse number 7, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." In other words, what we're doing is we're allowing the Word of God to transform our lives because we're not being conformed to this world. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are being renewed by the Word of God. And all of a sudden, what we're letting our lives align with God's Word. Amen. And as we're being transformed, there's new discoveries that have come. God will show you things that will truly blow your mind. It's kind of interesting. The Lord has shown me so many things in the spiritual realm are taking place, and they're about to be manifested on the earth. And there's an all-out rebellion against it. There's a battle that's taking place because of the time and the season that we're in. Amen. And the devil knows this. He's a short timer. Amen. He knows he's going to be bound for 1,000 years coming up here shortly. Amen. And so then it'll be loose for a season, and that's a different message. But the Lord says this to you. One of the things he spoke to my heart about, every time we gather together in the house of God, the Apostle Peter was speaking about it in Acts chapter 3. Verse 19, when he speaks about a time of refreshing. Amen. In other words, God's presence fills the atmosphere, and it's up to you rather than be refreshed. Amen. And he says in Acts chapter 3, 19, he says to us, he says, "Repent, ye therefore, and be converted." Amen. I'm talking about that converted again. "That your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Amen. In other words, we don't want to miss what we're here for. Amen. God wants to do something in here so we can take it out there. And if we don't allow him to do something out in here, what we take out there isn't good. Amen. All of a sudden, we start taking us out there instead of him out there. Amen. All of a sudden, we start hurting people versus helping people. Amen. I don't know about you, but he's my very present help in time of need. Amen. So he reminded me of that being converted and that repented in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse number 19. He says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Amen? Are y'all with me? So in closing today, what is he saying to us through his word today? He says, like the Jews, because of their heart, it waxed hard. It waxed gross, it says. It waxed gross, is what he said. There was a deterioration. It was deteriorating. It was growing worse and worse. Why? because of the dullness of their ears and the dullness of their eyes, they weren't hearing and they weren't truly seeing. They had already decided what they were going to do before the pastor ever preached. But he said, but if you will see with your eyes and hear with your ears, then I will convert you. The convert. That's the deliverance. So what the Lord is saying to us in closing today, that hey, believe it or not, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So in closing, what is the Lord saying to us? Believe it or not. He says faith is coming by hearing. He said, God says this to you and I in Hebrews 11, 6. He said, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So God wants to speak to every last one of us in some way, in some manner, in some shape today. Will you respond? It's up to you. Just like we shared early today, God isn't going to force himself on anyone, but he has everything you need. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one that's in this place. You said today, first, to preach the gospel to the poor. First and foremost, I'm going to have a brief altar call. If you feel comfortable to come, come, because I want to pray for some people today. Number one, God wants to minister to the backslider. If you're not in the place you need to be. Secondly, to the broken. Third, to the bound. He said he set at liberty the captives. Fourth is to the blind. And fifth is to the bruised. You've been hurt by people. How many know that people hurt? Come on. People have a tendency just to hurt people. So, if you're backslidden, you're brokenhearted, you're bound, you're blind, or you're bruised, all I want you to do is I just want you to stand up right where you're at. Would you stand where you are? I don't care which one it is. It doesn't matter. It's between you and the Lord. I'm not here to pick out what's wrong with you. But God said he was going to send his word. He was going to heal some people today. And he was going to do it in a new way. He is God. He can do whatever. He sees you right where you're at. Can you do me a favor? And this is just an act of surrender. Can you just lift your hands to the Lord right now in the name of Jesus? Father, you see your children, Father God. And many of you see how the enemy has come on like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord has lifted a standard against them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you see the ones that the adversary has been trying to draw back like a pig in the mire, Father God, or trying to draw them back, Father God, as you said in 2 Peter chapter 2. Father, I pray right now for healing that area in their life, Father God. There are many here that their hearts have been broken by circumstance, by situation, Father God. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you meet them right where they're at, Father God. That you're the restorer of the breach, Father God. That you're the healer, Father God. Father, I speak to those that are bound. I bind every weapon right now the enemy has formed against their mind, body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. And I speak deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, that spirit, that thing that's held them down is fallen. The chains are being broken right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Father God. And I give you praise for those that are spiritually blind, Father God. They have not been able to see. Their vision's been blurry, Father God. I'm not only talking about physical blurriness, but I'm talking about spiritual blurriness. Father, I thank you right now that you're clearing their sight, that they see in Jesus' name. They'll see greater and further in the deeper depths. And you'll give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding, Father God, like never before. Now, Father God, I speak to those that have been bruised, that have been hurt by others. Father, your word declares you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes we are healed. Those that have been hurt by others right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for supernatural faith to forgive them whether they deserve it or not. Father God, that they release those ones that have offended them and hurt them, and they leave them in your hands, Father God. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding now to guard their hearts and minds. What am I talking about? Those ones that are backslidden, they're not backslidden any longer. Those ones that are broken, they're not broken any longer. Those ones that are bound, they're not bound any longer. Those ones that are blind, they're not blind any longer. Those ones that were bruised, they're not bruised any longer. Because you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And with your stripes, we are healed. Now we give you praise and glory for our healing. We give you praise and glory, Father God. We rejoice in your goodness, Lord. We rejoice in your mercy, Lord. We rejoice in your grace, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So, Father God, your word declares that our steps have been ordered by you, and we find delight in our way. Father God, I thank you, Father God, as the enemy came in like a flood, now there's a flood of joy that's flooding hearts and souls, even right now in the name of Jesus. It's a joy to be in your presence, for in your presence there's fullness of joy. Joy unspeakable and a fullness of glory. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven and start giving praise and glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just start giving them praise and glory. Give them praise and glory. You may never have done it before. Start today. There's no better day than today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Father, I speak supernatural blessings to be upon your people. May your face shine upon them, Father God. meet each and every one right where they're at. And we're grateful, Lord Jesus, that you're not leaving us there, that you take us from glory to glory, even as by your Spirit. We'll never cease to give you praise for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.